You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach talking Boston Red Sox with MLB.com's Red Sox beat reporter Ian Brown. Ian, a team meeting is never a good sign. Certainly a publicized team meeting that everybody hears about is never a good sign. Obviously, things are not going particularly well for the Red Sox, but was this an indication that maybe there is some level of dissatisfaction beyond what's going on the field, or is this not something to make a big deal of?
Yeah, you know, I actually think it was sort of the opposite. They weren't exactly trying to hide the team meeting. I was actually the one who asked John Farrell, you know, did you meet with these guys? Because it seemed like the season was at a crisis point. He said, yes, we did. And then it seemed to me the message of this meeting, Matthew, was to tell guys not to panic, to tell them that, you know, this season is not over. There's 100 games left, over 100 games left. A lot of things can happen. And just to sort of start focusing on the process each day rather than, you know, focusing on what people are saying in the media, looking at the standings, looking at batting averages, and just to remind people to just start focusing on each at bat, each pitch, you know, try to win every inning, that kind of thing. And just to remind, you know, because I think when you finish in last place the year before, there's a tendency when this happens again in June to say, oh, here we go again. And I think they were just saying, hey, this doesn't have to be last season. This is a different team, and there's a whole lot of baseball left. So I think that was really the genesis of that meeting.
One thing that we have talked about on here in recent weeks is the fact that in this division, nobody's really pulled away. And so for a team to be scuffling for 2 months is not necessarily the end of the world. With that said, no one team has run away, but something worrisome is happening for the Red Sox, which is that they're now 6 games out of fourth place. It sounds minor, but essentially it means if you're a lot of way behind one team, then you have to get hot and hope they cool off, and that's all you need. If you're a lot of way behind four teams, you got to get hot and have four teams cool off, all of which is a very long intro to, I think, what's a fairly simple question, which is, to what extent is there some real pressure on these guys now because of the standings that maybe there wasn't even a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, no, I think there's definitely pressure on them, and it's funny because, you know, you mentioned there's pressure, but like I said, the meeting they had the other day was almost to remind them not to look at that, because if they look at that big picture, they're going to get swallowed up on it. And look, we've seen in baseball history a lot of teams have overcome large deficits. You know, as Pedroia mentioned the other day, you know, I was on a team that blew a 9-game lead in September. So, I've seen firsthand that, you know, what could happen from that side. So they're hoping to be on the other side of it this time, and they just got to play better baseball. They can't get to, you know, they let the front office worry about the standings in terms of, you know, what they're going to do around trade season, but the players themselves, they really can't look at that right now. They just got to figure out a way to make their execution better on a daily basis, because clearly it's been very lacking. When you come in here to Atlanta 10 games under 500 in the middle of June, clearly a lot of things have gone wrong, more things than anyone could have imagined, and they just got to turn that around right now rather than, you know, kind of focusing on how many teams they have to catch or how many games back they are.
One thing that really might make a difference would be to have an actual healthy, established major league catcher, and it sounds like they may be getting one of those soon. What's the story with Ryan Hannigan?
Yeah, Hannigan's making some nice progress, and the plan is that next week he will start a minor league rehab assignment. You know, he had that broken finger, and I think, you know, with how long he's been out, I think he'll probably need now, you would think he would need like a couple weeks of minor league games. So the guy's been out since May 1st. So, you know, maybe 10 days at least he'll need. And, you know, hopefully maybe get him back before the All-Star break would be a good scenario. But, yeah, he was playing pretty good baseball for them before he got hurt. He was giving them competitive at-bats. He was doing a pretty nice job. He had a pretty good rapport with the pitchers. And I think that it would just take something off Blake Swihart. This is a lot of pressure put on Blake Swihart right now to kind of be the primary catcher for this team. So Ryan Hannigan could be a big addition for this team when he comes back.
I tend to be of the opinion that we put a little too much stock in catchers when we talk about pitcher performance. But with that said, it's not hard to kind of draw a line between the degree to which Red Sox starters have underperformed relative to expectations and the fact that, again, they've done without at catcher for so much. Does the club think that getting Hannigan back might provide something of a boost to that rotation that could obviously use it?
Yeah, absolutely. And you look at it, they didn't just lose Hannigan, they lost Vasquez too. So it was kind of a unique situation where you lose the two guys who worked all of spring training with these pitchers, and all of a sudden these other two guys, Blake Swihart and Sandy Leone, had a crash course with these pitchers. And I think in particular, Leone has done a really nice job with Buchholz. You know, Buchholz has really started to pitch better once Leone started catching him. So you give him some credit for that. For Swihart, just, you know, without you just not having the experience, it's hard for him to know, you know, which finger to put down in the eighth inning in a crucial situation, that type of thing. It's just the experience. He's sort of getting on-the-job experience right now and sort of learning as he goes. And they could just use, like I said, Ryan Hannigan, sort of steady hand back there. He's seen a lot of different situations. So just the added experience would be a big factor for this Red Sox team.
Probably not a fair question to ask. In fact, it's almost certainly not a fair question to ask, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Has this 115 at-bats done anything at all to diminish Swihart's long-term standing within the organization, or do they still think he's the guy long-term at catcher for them?
Yeah, I think that they still think he can be the guy long-term. I think this has been kind of a like I said, a pressurized situation here where, you know, not only is he getting his first 115 big league at-bats, but all of a sudden he's learning how to handle a major league staff with really no veteran presence with him. So I just think he's had a lot thrown at him, and he's really prioritized his, to his credit, he's really prioritized his defense, maybe to a fault where he hasn't had as much time to work on the offense because he knows that it's so important to have a steady hand back there behind the plate. And it's just, I think he just has a lot coming at him right now. So I don't think you can make a fair evaluation on Blake Swihart. This wasn't how they planned on him entering the big leagues. So I think you take that a little bit with a grain of salt right now.
It from the overreacting department, we asked this the day after Brock Holt hits for the cycle. So it's a little obvious in that regard. But I still think it's a fair question to ask because he's been really good for them, again, offensively, and he's gotten on base. And this is a team that, for all the expectations offensively, has underachieved offensively. And so the question is, put aside the cycle and just look at Holt, the player. How do they bump him? How does he – he's been playing nearly every day in June. How do they not continue to have him play pretty much every day on a team that really needs the offense, even as people start to come back?
Yeah, no, I think that John Farrell will continue to keep find ways to keep Brock Holt involved. And look, unfortunately for the Red Sox, Ruzne Castillo has really not established himself in any way here. Just hasn't looked, you know, he hasn't looked impressive at all at the plate. So it's kind of easy right now to get Holt in right field, at least until Victorino gets back against a lot of right-handed pitchers. And they'll continue to find ways to throw him around the diamond. I mean, the beauty of a guy who can play, you know, seven, eight different positions is you can just keep putting him in different spots and giving other guys a day off. And I think that at the same point, you found out last year when Brock Holt plays 7 days a week, he gets worn down after a while. So I think that this, once you play this guy anywhere from 3 to 5 days a week, it's almost perfect for Brock Holt to just kind of rotate around in different positions.
And then one last thing, the time on Justin Masterson's minor league rehab assignment is not at the end, but it's nearing an end, and he's been a little better, but not great. At some point, they're going to have to make a decision as to what exactly they do with this guy. How far along are they on getting to a decision on what they do with this guy?
Yeah, I mean, I think they might just run out the clock with him and see where they are from there, see what they have available, see what they have available in the rotation, see what they have available in the bullpen. The Red Sox always think, you know, you keep as much pitching depth as possible and just don't necessarily cut anyone loose until you have to, because it's always better to have more options than less options. I mean, you know, one of the starters could come in tomorrow with a sore arm, and then suddenly it looks pretty good having Masterson there. But, yeah, I mean, that Masterson, it's kind of dicey right now. You don't really know what you're going to get from this guy. And I guess I'd be more surprised than not if he actually comes back and pitches effectively and sort of nails down a spot in the rotation. And it's hard to see it right now just with the way he threw the ball in spring training, with the way he threw the ball in the regular season and on the rehab. So it just looks like a guy who, for whatever reason, just can't find it. And this has been going on for 2 years now. So I'm skeptical that Justin's going to play any sort of important role on this team the rest of the season.
All right. Well, Ian Brown, thanks for taking some time to talk here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks, everybody, for listening.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.